Good day to you. This is Pastor David Brown from Living Waters Christian Center. On Sunday, the 7th of January, 2018, I preached a message, which was not recorded on that Sunday, called Time to Go Forward. This teaching on now is a shortened version of that. What we said, some of the things we said on Sunday was that 2017 was a year of stress and anxiety, testings, trouble, sickness, disappointment, setbacks, chaos, failures, trials, a time where a lot of people went through a lot of things. Looking back myself, I see quite a number of things that have been quite testing for me as compared to other years. As a result of that, some of us have derailed. And when a train derails, what we find is that it cannot go forward. It cannot fulfill its purpose. And even though the train may be loaded with valuables and potential, it cannot deliver it because it's simply off track. And God wants us to get back on track if we found ourselves derailed, the track of love, the track of faith. He wants us to get right back on track. And even though a train, when it's derailed, sometimes it's so much damage that it cannot be repaired, yet with the believer, we know that help is at hand. No matter how much the damage is and how bad it seems, God can repair us. So you can get back on track. And that's the encouragement that we have today, knowing that God can put us back on track. So in 2018, we're looking forward to walking into promotion, freedom, health. If you've got business, for it to be extended and expanded. Triumph. We're looking forward to success, delightfulness, prosperity, healing, comfort, peace, positivity. We're looking forward to a number of things that God may have laid on our hearts, and we know from God's word that He has in store for us. But how do we get there? How do we get to these things? Well, number one, we've got to wholly follow God. We've got to wholly follow God. Numbers 32 and verse 11 says, "Surely none of the men that came out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me." One whole generation missed out on the promises of God, missed out on things that was promised to them simply because they did not wholly follow God. Now, there were two exceptions to this. Verse 12 tells us in Numbers 32, "Save Caleb," or except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun. They wholly followed the Lord. These two men, unlike all the others, chose to wholly follow God. And so they walked into the promises of God. Deuteronomy 1, 34, 35, "And the Lord heard the sound of your words and was angry and took an oath, saying, surely not one of these men of this evil generation shall see the good land of which I swore to give to your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh," verse 36 says. "He shall see it, and to him and his children I am giving the land on which he walked, because he wholly followed the Lord." Joshua 14, verse 8. "Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me," Caleb was speaking here, made the heart of the people melt, "but I wholly followed the Lord my God." And verse 9 of Joshua 14. "So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot is trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God." Joshua 14, verse 14. "Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." My friend, if we are going to walk into the blessings of God, if we're going to walk into the promises of God, we've got to make up our mind that we're not going to just part-time follow God. We're not going to do a little bit here, a little bit here. Go after him when things are bad, but when things are not bad, we don't go after him. We've got to make up our mind that we're going to wholly follow God. That word holy comes from a Hebrew word, mole, spelled M-A-L-E. And that word means to fill. It means to accomplish. It means to fully complete. And we've got to be determined that we are going to fully complete the mandate God has given us. We're going to be filled to the brim with the God's purposes and obedience as he commands us to do what he wants us to do. So we get there by wholly following God. Secondly, we get there by faith. Now, this is very important, and this really calls for a separate teaching by itself. But I'm going to give you 14 or so scripture references. I want you to look them up. Hebrews 11 verse 1, what faith is. Hebrews 11 6, it pleases God and rewards. Romans 10 17, comes by hearing. 1 John 5 4, gives us victory. Habakkuk 2 4, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3 14, God's promises are received by faith. Romans 12 3, we all have the measure of faith. Matthew 9 2, faith can be seen. Matthew 6 30, it can be little. Matthew 8 10, it can be great. Acts 6 5, you can be full of it. Acts 15 9, it purifies our heart. Acts 16 5, you can be established in it. Acts 26 18, you are sanctified by faith. 2 Timothy 1 13, we've got to hold fast sound words by faith. So you're hearing sound words now because it's coming from the Word of God. And the challenge is for you to hold fast to these words so that the enemy doesn't come and steal it away, as mentioned in Mark 4. Kenneth Hagin said, your faith will never rise higher than your confession. And E.W. Kenyon said, confession builds a road over which faith holds your cargo. So it's absolutely vitally important then for us to confess. And that leads to my third point. How do we get there? By declaring it. We've got to declare the word of God. We've got to declare our promotion. We've got to declare the end result, health, freedom, business, that's good, triumph, success, delightfulness, prosperity, deliverance, healing. We've got to declare the end result in line with God's word. And so how do we do that? A fivefold process. Number one, the word of God must be written on your heart, Proverbs 3, verse 3. Number two, how do I write it on my heart? With my tongue, Psalm 45, verse 1. Number three, what else needs to happen? I need to digest the word. Once I've written it on my heart, it now needs to be digested, soaked into your spirit, Psalm 1, verse 2. Number four, it's got to be confessed, Romans chapter 10, verse 10. And number five, it's got to be practiced. James 1, 22 says, be ye doers of my word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Proverbs 4, 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. In other words, pay attention to what you're writing on your heart, because some of the results you may be seeing could be the result of what you have written on your heart with your tongue. Next point, we've got to then demonstrate the word. Demonstrate the word. So, yeah, we've got to wholly pursue God. We've got to know and apply the process of faith. We've got to confess the word. Okay, but we've also got to demonstrate it. So we get there by demonstrating the word. Joshua 1 verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, for that you may observe to do all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. All right? So notice, the book of the law, the word of God, shall not cease to come from your mouth. All right? You're going to meditate on it day and night. Day and night. Did you know that your spirit doesn't sleep? So even though your body is resting at night, your spirit doesn't sleep. And if the word of God is in you, that word should be meditated on in the daytime and also at night. And that's when God speaks to us sometimes as well, especially so if we're too busy in the daytime to give God a chance to speak. But notice that you do that, okay? You the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You meditate on it day and night so that you may observe to do it, so that you may practice what you have read. And it's only after practicing what you have read that you will make your way prosperous and that you will have good success. So no good success will come if you're not observing to do. And you can't observe to do unless you are speaking God's word. All right. So, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so we've got to examine ourselves, and that's why it's good to fast. Periodically, it's good to fast, to take time aside and to be still before the presence of God, to examine yourself and to say, you know, is there any wicked way in me? And if there is, to deal with it. Lay aside those weights, those burdens. Man, move off from unforgiveness. You've held on to it long enough. It's brought you nowhere except giving you pain and havoc and setbacks. Lay aside unforgiveness. Walk in love. Walk in forgiveness. Lay aside prayerlessness. Prayerlessness is not weakness. It is sin. Oh, but Pastor David, I pray. I pray by myself when I'm at home and I have a good time of prayer. My devotion times with the Lord is so wonderful. Yeah, but if you're neglecting corporate prayer, you are in error. As a matter of fact, I'll say you're in sin. Because the Bible tells us quite clearly, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as is common. So you ought to go to church and you ought to pray to church. When we look in the book of Acts, we see that the early church, they gathered together and they prayed. And things happened. They gathered together, prayed, things happened. All right, the power of God moved. And if we want to see the power of God move amongst us, we've got to understand the proper place of corporate prayer and get together and do that as often as we can. Now, in closing, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, Paul was rebuking the Christians at Corinth, really, because they were not growing. They were getting the word, but they weren't growing. They were hearing the word, but they weren't growing. They weren't growing because the word was not applied to their lives. And as a result of that, they remained babes. They were not able, as the scripture says, to take or to handle meat. They still needed the milk of the word because they were immature and they were just remaining babes in Christ, really. You know, when a baby is born, it's young and it is, you know, very little it can do for itself. It's dependent upon its mother. But there's a time when that baby grows and grows and grows and to the point where it's able to do things for itself and able to do more and more as it grows. Christians at Corinth were not growing. They were remaining babes, always wanting to do things. And another scripture talks about needing the elementary things, if you like, of the word. But the scripture also tells us right here in 1 Corinthians 3 why they were not growing. Well, one of the signs of them not growing, strivings and disputes amongst you. Are you still not yet carnal, the word of God says. And if you're a carnal Christian, is a baby Christian. Because a carnal Christian is a fleshy Christian. And babies are concerned about I, me, and myself. They cry because they want attention. They cry because they want food. They cry because they want attention. They want changing. And that's how carnal Christians are. They squeal and they make a lot of noise because it's all about I, me, and myself, self-centered, and that has no place in a maturing believer. So therefore, we must walk in love. We mustn't grumble and complain when we hear that. We must forgive. We must release, let go, and let God. How others treat you is none of your business. How you treat others is your business. Because somebody's treating you horrible doesn't mean you should treat them horrible. Walk in love. Your faith won't work if your love is not properly working. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6 tells us quite clearly. And the last scripture I'm going to mention today, Hebrews 10, 35, 36. It says, Therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Note that you can't cast away your confidence. You can't cast away the word of God. You need the word of God, right? Because once you have done it and you need endurance, you need to stick to the task, not give up, not quit, so that after you have done the will of God, you get the promise. Notice the promise doesn't come until you have done the will of God. It's all about his kingdom, folks. Don't make it about yourself because it's not about you. God sees and knows everything about you. And he's promised to take care of you. But you have got to make it about his kingdom. And his kingdom should be number one priority in your life. And once you've done that, you'll begin to see things flow. And God will begin to move. And then you will see the promise, as the scriptures just said. So, in conclusion, I must wholly follow after God. I must know, operate in, and understand the application of faith. I must declare the word of God. I must demonstrate the word of God. And when I begin to do these things, when you begin to do these things, then you begin to see the blessing of God and the full purposes of God revealing your life. May God bless you as you do that in this season for His kingdom. Amen. Time to go forward.